Growing up in Sunday school as a boy, I learned a chorus that had literally become one of the principles in my life. And it goes something like this: when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and you'll be surprised what the Lord has done. Throughout my life, and my own Christian life, that has become my life practice, at least an endeavor to practice it. Not only that, but to various degrees of success, I've tried to teach that to my children. I know there are days, and some of you don't feel that you are particularly blessed. But the truth is, you are blessed. More than you ever think or imagine or dream, just take time and focus on the blessings of God. But you know what the problem, I think, for most of us, in fact, I dare say, the problem for all of us, including myself, is that we find it a lot easier to count our troubles and to count our problems, but not our blessings. And the Apostle Peter becomes so overwhelmed with the blessings of God in Jesus Christ. He becomes so overwhelmed with these blessings of God. And as he begins to pen the words of his first epistle, the first thing he does is he count the blessings. We're going to see the sevenfold blessings. Turn with me, please, to your Bible reading of today. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 1 to 12. The sevenfold blessings by which the Apostle Peter begins his first epistle. The first blessing is that blessing that is being expressed here as a gratitude to God for His sovereign call upon us. His election to be saved from eternal hell and damnation, to be heading for heaven through Jesus Christ. Without Him, that would have been impossible. You see, in the Old Testament, the people of Israel were called the chosen people. They were chosen by God. And then in the New Testament, you begin from the very beginning of the New Testament all the way to the end. The church of Jesus Christ, the believers in Jesus Christ, are called the chosen people. And here Peter, a Jew of a Jew, calls Christians in the northern part of modern-day Turkey, whether they are Jews or Gentiles who are members of the Church of Jesus Christ, here's what he calls them: chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. You can't get more proof than that. If you believe, listen to me please, if you believe that you are saved because of your decision to believe, if you believe that you are saved because of your efforts and good works, if you believe because you feel that you're a good man or a good woman, that you're a righteous person, chances are you're not a grateful person in life. You're not a thankful person in life. Let me tell you something. It took me a little while to understand this biblical truth, but when I began to understand it, it revolutionized my life. Because I used to be one of those people who thought that because I walked down the aisle and I received Christ, that means I have something to do with my salvation. And the day I began to understand this incredible teaching, that God called me, that God chose me, that God saved me before the earth was ever founded, it became enough for me not just to be happy to go on my knees before God, but get on my face before God. I am happy to be vulnerable. I'm happy to be called any name in the book. Why? Because I have received the greatest blessing that I got from God. Let me ask you this. When was the last time did you thank God for the blessing of His election of you to believe and be saved? When was the last time did you offer thanksgiving for that? The blessing of God's election. Secondly, the blessing of the new birth. Look at verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He says, God has given us a new birth. Who gave it to us? God did. The new birth, or the second birth, or being born again, as you hear it bandied about, is different from our first birth. And only those who are born again of the Spirit of God can understand and comprehend what that means. The people who are not can never understand it. Listen, part of the problems we have in society today, there's so many Christians running around trying to tell society to behave like born-again people. And they're not born again. They don't know what that is. They don't understand it. And that is why the world has a hard time comprehending the supernatural phenomena that only the believers in Jesus Christ understand. C.S. Lewis explained that trying to describe the rebirth and regeneration and the born-again experience to somebody who's not born again, he said, it is like a sighted man standing there with a blind man, and he's saying, isn't the grass green? Isn't that sky blue? And he says, he's wasting his time. The blind man cannot understand what he's talking about. And that is why Peter puts the blessing of the new birth as a gift from God, from the hand of God to every believer in Jesus Christ, right at the top of his list of sevenfold blessings. And you and I must remind ourselves, not just on a daily basis, but several times a day, of that gift, that magnificent blessing that God has given us. You and I ought to be thankful for that rebirth. You and I ought to be humbled by that rebirth. You and I ought to know and live and experience that rebirth as we walk with God day by day. Blessing of election. Blessing of the new birth. Thirdly, the blessing of a living hope. Look at verse 3. Now, what's that living hope? What's that word hope mean? I think we use the word in English, of course, in such a way. We say, well, I hope so. I just hope that everything is going to turn out all right. And you grit your teeth at the same time. But that's not what the Greek word here means. That's not what the word... I really wish there was an English word. I couldn't find one, but that's as good as you're going to get. However, it means certainty. It means assurance. It means there is no doubt whatsoever about this. From the last message, we saw the dark and bleak and hopeless things and how they looked, those things, to Peter in the day of the crucifixion, the day of the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then after the resurrection, when Jesus appeared to Peter one on one, Peter was a changed man. He was a new man. He was a forgiven man. He was transformed from hopelessness into the hope of the resurrection. He was transformed from no hope into a living hope, which is brought about by the living, resurrected Jesus Christ. Let me ask you again. What difference does the resurrection of Jesus Christ make in your life, in every decision that you make, whether it be at business or home, wherever you may be? What difference did the resurrection make? When did you count the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the greatest blessing in your life? When was the last time you said to yourself, the one who raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead is working in me to will and to do the Father's good pleasure? When was the last time that you told somebody that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I too shall live forever? That I too will be with Him? The blessing of election. The blessing of the new birth. The blessing of the living hope. Fourthly, the blessing of the inheritance. Look at verse 4. We're not only blessed by new birth, we're not only blessed in a living hope, but we're blessed with an inheritance. Let me tell you something about that inheritance. That inheritance never perishes. Never. No matter what happens. That inheritance never gets spoiled. This inheritance never fades away. That inheritance cannot be affected by the stock market, for it can never go down in value. That inheritance cannot be stolen from you because it is in a safe place. No one can defraud you of it. You know why? Because it's non-negotiable. That inheritance, whose beauty no one can deface. That's the inheritance that you and I have in Christ. Think about it this way. Your inheritance in Christ is like a car manufacturer who's announced a super-duper model that nobody has been able to see. It's in the showroom. It's undercover. It's a secret. It's a hush-hush. Nobody can ever know about it. Everybody go around, look around, and say, man, it's undercover. I don't know, I don't understand it. But here's what the believers in Jesus Christ have been able to do. Before the unveiling, they've been able to take it for a spin. Before the unveiling, they've been able to take it for a test ride. And that's what the inheritance, why the believers who are born again of the Spirit of God are able to taste, foresee that incredible inheritance that is ours in Jesus Christ. What a blessing. The blessing of election, the blessing of the new birth, the blessing of a new hope, the blessing of the inheritance, fifthly, the blessing of God's protection and security. Look at verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter says, we are shielded by God's power. We are shielded by God's power. Now that word shielded means kept safe. It means that it's carefully monitored and carefully watched by God. And what a relief for me to know that God is the one who shelters me, that God is the one who is guarding me, that God is the one who's protecting me, that God is the one who's guaranteeing my salvation, that God is the one who is my shield and my buckler, that God is the one who is mighty fortress. There are two errors that Christians fall into, and if they fall in one, they fall in the other. Almost always. Well, let me explain what I'm talking about. If I think that I am saved by my decision for Christ, then it is natural for me to believe that my eternity is dependent on my efforts, that my eternity is dependent on my performance for Christ throughout my life. If I am the one who get myself to Christ, then it is natural for me to think throughout my Christian life that I am the one who have to hang on to Christ, that I am the one who have to keep myself in Christ. You see, the two errors go together. But if the Father is the one who chose me, and the Spirit called me, and Jesus redeemed me, then I am His responsibility. My obedience or disobedience to God, the disobedience has consequences, my obedience has blessings, but that's not what the guarantee of eternal security is all about. The eternal security of the believer in God is designed by God, it is executed by God, and it is guaranteed by God. I think some of you will understand why I get easily overwhelmed counting the blessings. As the Apostle Peter talks about the blessings of election, the blessing of a new birth, the blessing of the living hope, the blessing of an inheritance, the blessing of God's protection, the blessing of the suffering for the sake of Christ. Look at verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. And you know there are a lot of confusion about this question of suffering for Christ. Really there is. I mean, people have all kinds of ideas about suffering. There are some who see all the afflictions in life as suffering for Jesus Christ. They really do. I mean, from the ridiculous to the sublime. Even, from getting a flat tire on the highway to getting a stopped up sink at home to all the way to serious stuff like losing a loved one even. They see everything as suffering for Christ. All kinds of suffering. But you know what? None of this, however, these sufferings are meant in this passage. If you want to be faithful to this passage, you've got to understand it in context. Peter speaking about suffering as a direct result of obedience, of commitment, of following Jesus as Lord in your life. That's the kind of suffering he's talking about. Now, if you lose your job, or you pass by in a promotion, or if you lose a business deal, simply because you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then you are suffering for Christ and Christ will reward you for that. But if you lose your job simply because you are lazy or incompetent, that's not God's fault. Don't pin that on Jesus. That's not suffering for Jesus. If people call you names and they bring your reputation in the mud because you are a follower of Jesus Christ, that is suffering for Jesus Christ, and He will bless you through this. Peter is saying, listen to me, that when you are allowed to go through suffering that is specifically directed at you because of your unwavering commitment to Jesus Christ, because your unwavering commitment to His Word, God will use that suffering to bless your life in ways you can never understand it otherwise. That's what He's saying here. God will use that suffering to refine your life like precious metal. That's what He said. God will use this suffering to bring you closer to Him in intimacy and in a way that you have never thought possible. That when that happens, God will use this suffering to bless you in ways that makes the human mind boggle. That's what He's saying here. The Peter before the resurrection was afraid of suffering. He could not take suffering for Jesus' sake. And that is why he denied Him and denied any knowledge of Him. He's obviously thinking about that suffering. But the Peter after the resurrection, who was given many opportunities to suffer for Christ, and he paid dearly for it. In fact, tradition says that he was crucified upside down for Jesus Christ when he died. This is a blessing in the sevenfold blessing here that very, 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 very few people right here who are listening to me have ever been through. But if the time comes, if and when the time comes, we will be able to count it a blessing to suffer for Christ. Listen, Peter said those times of sufferings are short-lived. They are limited. Those times of sufferings are not forever. But in the midst of those times, you will experience joy beyond human comprehension. The blessing of election, the blessing of new birth, the blessing of living hope, the blessing of inheritance, the blessing of God's security and protection, the blessing when you suffer for Christ, and finally, the blessings of grace. Probably ever since that day in 1964, when I began to walk with the Lord, probably there is nothing that overwhelms me completely as when I take time to reflect upon the grace of God. That grace that is totally unmerited favor. That grace that I don't deserve. That grace that overwhelms me. And that grace can only be possible through Jesus Christ. In fact, Peter said this grace was foretold by the prophets in the Old Testament. Look at verses 10, 11, and 12. They foretold of it, that is coming. They did not experience it themselves. They longed for it. They hoped to see it in their lifetime. Every prophet was hoping. They peered into its horizon. But we, the New Testament believers, are the ones who are privileged to experience that grace of God. They foretold of it, but we foretasted it. Here's what Peter said. He said, even angels desire to look into the wonder of the grace of God. Angels have not experienced the grace of God. I'm going to tell you why. Because the reason angels filled with wonder when they see the gospel of grace is manifested and working in lives of believers everywhere in the world, the reason they do that is because they have never experienced the mercy of God. They have never experienced the grace of God like you and I do. They have never needed mercy because they have always lived a sinless life. After the fall of Lucifer from heaven, the angels in heaven were never tempted to sin. They have never wandered from the Father's will for their own lives. They have never needed to be reminded or redeemed because they are sinless beings. And that is why Peter said, you know, these angels that ministers, the Hebrew says minister to God's elect, to the believers, these angels themselves, they look there and they're absolutely in awe of the mercy of God and the grace of God that is given to you and to me. They have never experienced it, but they see it as an awesome thing. Next time you tend to take the grace of God for granted in your life, next time to tell God about what He's not doing, remember His grace that has worked in your life, that makes angels baffled. We're the ones who are sinners. The angels were not. We're the ones who deserve hell. We're the ones who needed to be redeemed by the grace of God. And we were redeemed by His precious blood. And yet the angels get more overwhelmed by that grace that they have not experienced than we, who just take it for granted in the humdrum of life. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Take a moment and think about how you have taken the grace of God and the favor of God and the blessing of God for granted. Think of this sevenfold blessing and how it is only possible because of Jesus, and say, thank you, Lord.
Thanks for listening to this message by Dr. Michael Youssef, Bible teacher on Leading the Way. The best way to order products or learn more about Dr. Youssef and the International Ministry of Leading the Way is through the web. Make it a point to go to leadingtheway.org and click around. You can also speak to a ministry representative when you call 866-626-4356. May God bless you as you walk with Him each day.